Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, second class, 23 August 2026, Romans.
What Al was saying is that my happy place is here. My happy place is to be in my study every day. Every day. And to teach the classes that we have here, I need to be here every single day. Studying. So that when I stand up here, I can communicate God's grace and truth to you clearly and accurately. It just so happens that right now I have 3 days out of the week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I can't be here. I'm having all kinds of things. I'm having CT scans. I'm having laser treatments. I'm having physical therapy. By the way, there's another term for those people. They are physical terrorists, is what they are. And I look forward to physical therapy, and I've come a long ways. They're even very surprised at how far I've come. But about 45 to 50 minutes of that is no problem. I keep doing more and more and more and strengthening muscles and so forth. But then they bring the terrorist in. And he takes my knee and that had the total knee replacement. And then he takes it and pushes. When he first started, when I got to 90 degrees, they go, oh, that's pretty good. This last time, Friday, this guy took it and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. And I'm almost to the point of screaming like a woman, you know. And then he measures, he goes, oh, 130 degrees. Oh, you've come a long ways. Yeah! And then he stretched it out, and then he stretches it out, and then he pushes down on it as hard as he can, pushing down. Well, I'm doing that 3 days a week. Days that I need to be in here. I want to be in here. This is my happy place. And there's only one reason why I'm still here on planet Earth, and that's because the living and true God wants me to feed His sheep. And to feed the Lord's sheep, I want to make sure that I'm communicating the absolute truth of the Word of God to you. Exactly what the Word of God says. So, I have 6 weeks, then I am in my sixth week of rehab. Then they will evaluate and decide whether I need more than that after that. And maybe it'll be over after this next week, and I can be here every single day. That's where we're headed, and that's where I want to be. There's no other place I'd rather be. I have a 365-day celebration. And on vacation. I'm on vacation 365 days a year studying the Word of God so that I can feed you, the Lord's sheep. And so, and I do want to thank you, this congregation, and it's here, and it's also all over America and different parts of the world. Thank you all for your prayers. They've been fantastic. And I see the grace and power of God day after day. Thank you very much. And hopefully, maybe just this week, we'll teach a little bit of the Psalm 23. But very soon, we'll be back in Zechariah, 2 Corinthians, Hebrews, Romans, and teaching and teaching and teaching the grace and truth of the Word of God. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And in preparation to study the Word of God, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word above all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 9. Let's start the corrected translation at verse 1. I am communicating the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God in Christ. I am not lying, my conscience bearing witness with me by the agency of the Spirit. That's the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Verse 2, that I have a great sorrow and constant pain in my heart. Verse 3. For I could wish that I myself would be anathema, accursed, consequently separated from Christ. Of course, that can't happen. That's impossible. Paul is saying, I'd be willing to spend eternity in the lake of fire if the Jewish people would recognize that Jesus Christ is the only Savior and believe in Him for eternal salvation. So he says, I have a great sorrow and a constant pain in my heart, for I could wish that I myself would be anathema, accursed, consequently separated from Christ, for the sake of my brethren, my fellow countrymen, according to earthly descent. And then in Romans 9, verses 4 and 5, we have the incomparable spiritual heritage of Israel. Verse 4 sounds like this. Who are Israelites, to whom belongs, and here's part one of that incomparable spiritual heritage, adoption as adult sons. Part two, the Shekinah glory. Jesus Christ is the Shekinah glory. He dwelt in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle, above the Ark of the Covenant. The Shekinah glory, part two. And the covenants, part three. The unconditional covenants. And the giving of the law, part four. The Mosaic law. And the sacred service, part five. And the promises, part six. From whom are the fathers? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In fact, from them is traced the human ancestry of the Christ, the Messiah, the one who keeps on being the God over all, forever praised. Amen. So the incomparable spiritual heritage of Israel is given in six parts. Part one, the adoption as sons. Part two, the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ residing in the Holy of Holies above the Ark of the Covenant. Part three, the unconditional covenants. Part four, the giving of the Mosaic law. Part five, the temple service. Part six, the promises. Now, we have studied the first four parts of the incomparable spiritual heritage of Israel. Now, that brings us to part five of the incomparable spiritual heritage of Israel. And part five is the temple service. And the key word in part five is the word latreia. Looks like this in the Greek, latreia. L-A-T-R-E-I-A, latreia. And latreia comes from the verb latreo, which means to serve, the carrying out of religious duties. And therefore, the noun latreia means sacred service, the worship of God, the living and true God. And this included the MO of the Levitical priesthood. It included the Levitical offerings. It included the MO of the holy days. It included the feasts of the holy days. Only Israel possessed a God-ordained system of worship. This was a very important part of the incomparable spiritual heritage of Israel. Number one of latreia are the Levitical offerings. And there are five Levitical offerings. Three emphasize salvation, and two emphasize rebound. The first offering in the salvation is the burnt offering. The shadow ritual of the burnt offering declares judgment of sin and reveals the doctrine of redemption. The Lord Jesus Christ paying the penalty for the sins of the entire world, 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. The burnt offering also portrays propitiation, the satisfaction of God's absolute righteousness and perfect justice, with the substitutionary work of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. The second offering in the salvation category is the grain offering or the gift offering. This is a bloodless offering, and it also reveals propitiation, but it puts the spotlight on the impeccability of the person of Christ that qualified him as the perfect sacrifice. The third offering in the salvation category is the peace offering. And the peace offering represented the doctrine of reconciliation. Reconciliation is the sum total of all that Christ did on the cross in removing the barrier between God and man. Then the two rebound offerings, sin offering and the trespass offering, they represent the believer's acknowledgement of his personal sins. The sin offering concerns unknown sins in the life. The trespass offering pertains to all known sins. When the believer acknowledges his known sins to God, he is forgiven and cleansed from all unrighteousness, and therefore God's absolute righteousness and perfect justice also forgives all of his unknown sins. Number two of Latreia is the Feast of the Holy Days. There are seven feasts in the Holy Days. Four feasts are related to the first advent of Christ. Three feasts are related to the second advent of Christ. The first feast related to the first advent is Passover. This feast portrayed the work of Christ on the cross with emphasis on redemption. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. The Passover emphasized redemption, the cross, and the road to glory. The second feast related to the first advent is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This feast lasted for 7 days, and it occurred immediately after the Passover. Unleavened bread represents fellowship with God. Unleavened bread also emphasizes the impeccability of the humanity of Christ, because in the scriptures, leaven represents sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ was sinless perfection, impeccable. The third feast related to the first advent is the first fruits. The first fruits occurred on the first Sunday after the Passover. It fell on the third day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The feast portrayed the resurrection of our Lord, who is the first fruits. The fourth feast related to the first advent is Pentecost. Pentecost was a one-day feast in the first week in June. This feast occurred exactly 50 days after first fruits. It represented the beginning of the fifth cycle of discipline for the Jews and their dispersion. It also represented the beginning of the church age and the times of the Gentiles. Our Lord ascended 40 days after the Passover, and 10 days later, the church age began on the day of Pentecost, signified by the baptism of the Spirit, which forms the royal family of God, the body of Christ. Now, there is an elapse of time between the four feasts related to the first advent and the three feasts related to the second advent. This is a 4-month elapse of time. This time gap represented the intercalation of the church age during which the royal family of God is being called out. After this 4-month gap between the first four feasts of the first advent and the three feasts of the second advent, after this 4-month gap, now we have the three second advent feasts. The first feast related to the second advent is the Feast of Trumpets. And this feast represented the termination of the fifth cycle of national discipline to Israel. It represented the regathering of Israel. It represented the establishment of Israel as a client nation to God. And this puts the spotlight on the regathering of Israel at the second advent. Jesus Christ at the second advent regathers Israel. That's the Feast of Trumpets. And that's where we ended in our study. So now, that was in 10 points. Now, point 11. And 11's a great number. 11, the second feast related to the second advent is the Feast of Atonement. The Feast of Atonement. So, subpoint one, this feast represented the fulfillment of the four unconditional covenants to Israel. God has made four unconditional covenants to Israel, and these will be enjoyed by those Jews who recognize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the only Savior. And they place their faith in Jesus Christ, regeneration. And they will all enjoy these unconditional covenants. So this feast represented the fulfillment of the four unconditional covenants to Israel. The Abrahamic covenant, the real estate covenant, which some people call the Palestinian covenant. I like real estate. The Davidic covenant and the new covenant. So point two, these unconditional covenants are fulfilled to born again Jews only. All of those Jewish people who reject Jesus Christ as Savior, they will not enter into the millennial kingdom. They will not enter into these fantastic unconditional blessings. They will spend eternity separated from God in condemnation in the lake of fire. We all have a free will. Every member on the human race has a free will. We're the product of our own decisions. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, the sins of the whole world, the whole world, were gathered up and poured out on Him and judged in Him once and for all. And because they were, now, anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can have the gift of eternal life and the imputed righteousness of God. And you will live with God forever and ever and ever. If you wind up in condemnation in the lake of fire, it's because you used your own free will to say no to Jesus Christ, to reject Jesus Christ as your Savior. But God is not willing that any should perish. God would love to see everyone believe in Christ. But you have a free will. You are the product of your own decisions. He gave us that free will to resolve the angelic conflict, just like the angels had a free will. And there were those who were elect angels, and there were those who joined Satan in the revolution against God, and they are the fallen angels. And man was created to resolve the angelic conflict. And God gave us a volition just like he gave the angels. God would love to see everyone believe in Christ as their Savior. Everyone. But you are the product of your own decision. So, the second feast related to the second advent is the Feast of Atonement. And this feast represented the fulfillment of the four unconditional covenants to Israel: Abrahamic, real estate, Davidic, and New Covenants. Two, these unconditional covenants are fulfilled to born-again Jews only, not simply to racial Jews, but to those who have believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Three, this means that believers of the Old Testament are resurrected at the second advent of Christ to go into the millennial kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. And that's coming. That's coming. We're living at the end of the church age. We don't know exactly when the end of the church age. It will end with the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God. That will end the church age. That will begin the tribulation period, which is 7 years in length. And that concludes the age of Israel. And when the rapture concurs, now comes the Antichrist on the scene. And the Antichrist will be Satan's right-hand man. He will rule planet Earth. And he is evil personified. And then for 7 years, and then at the end of the 7-year tribulation, Jesus Christ returns to planet Earth. And he returns, and near the end of that 7-year period, a huge number of Jews will realize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the only Savior. And they will place their faith in him for eternal salvation. So this means, point three, that believers of the Old Testament are resurrected at the second advent to go into the millennial kingdom, in order that they might realize the fulfillment of these unconditional covenants. Four, tribulational believers alive at the second advent will live into the millennium and repopulate the earth. Tribulational believers who are alive at the second advent of Christ, they will live into the millennial kingdom and repopulate the earth. Five, while all Israel is not Israel, while all Israel is not Israel, the born-again Jew is eternally saved through faith in Christ, and he will enjoy the land and the unconditional covenants forever. While all Israel is not Israel, the born-again Jew, regeneration through faith in Christ, is eternally saved through faith in Christ, and he will enjoy the land and the unconditional covenant forever. Six, God must keep his word. God must keep his word. Unconditional means these covenants require nothing from man to be fulfilled and executed. God must keep His word. These, and unconditional means these covenants require nothing from man to be fulfilled and executed. 7, the New Testament commentary on this feast, known today as Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is found in Romans 3, 23 through 26. Turn over to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Romans 3, 23. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned, every member of the human race, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Now the word there for glory is doxa. Looks like that, D-O-K-S-A. And the glory of God refers to the absolute righteousness of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the absolute righteousness of God, the glory of God. And they are justified, declared righteous freely by His grace, through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement. Through faith in His blood, He did this to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance, He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His righteousness at the present time, so as to be righteous and the one who declares righteous those who have faith in Jesus. Those who have faith in Jesus. Justification. Romans 3, 23 to 26. Point 12. The third feast related to the second advent is the Feast of Tabernacles. The third feast related to the second advent is the Feast of Tabernacles. 1, this feast lasted 7 days and represented the perfect environment of the millennial rule of Christ. And that millennial kingdom, when Jesus Christ is ruling as the King of all kings and Lord of all lords on planet Earth, it will be perfect world peace, perfect righteousness and justice, perfect environment when Christ is ruling for 1,000 years in the millennium. 2, Satan and his demons are gone. Satan and his demons are gone. 3, there is optimum spirituality in the millennial kingdom. Optimum spirituality. 4, Israel is restored as the client nation to God. And the whole world is blessed by Israel as the client nation to God. Israel is restored as the client nation to God, and all the nations of planet Earth will be blessed by association with Israel. 5, the 4 unconditional covenants are fulfilled. The 4 unconditional covenants are fulfilled. 6, there is perfect objectivity in the administration of justice. The Lord Jesus Christ ruled planet Earth with perfect justice absolute righteousness and justice. There is perfect objectivity in the administration of justice. And seven, at the end of the millennium, there is a revolt as Satan is released from prison, a revolt of unbelievers who have no capacity for life or freedom. But that will be brought to an end by Jesus Christ. So the third feast related to the second advent is the Feast of Tabernacles. All right. That brings us to part six of the incomparable spiritual heritage of Israel. You got to come back next week for that. With our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. And for the privilege we've had this morning of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our life. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.